Now, in what we read tonight, there is something that the New Testament calls an allegory. An allegory is when the things that are appearing stand for other things. So see if you can find it. It's in Genesis chapter 21. Please give your attention to the Word of God. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah, as he had promised. And Sarah conceived, and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter, Isaac, for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity, but as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock apart. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart? He said, these 7 ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. Now, as you look at this passage, one thing to notice is that Isaac, in many ways, foreshadows Jesus. There's a biblical term for foreshadowing. He is a type of Jesus. That is, he gives you the imprint of Jesus ahead of time. I'd be tempted to say prototype, except when we make prototypes, we're experimenting and maybe we haven't figured it out yet. God has it figured out. So we just call him a type. Now, how is Isaac a type of Jesus? Well, Isaac's birth was promised, and then there was a long wait. And Jesus' birth was promised, and there was a much longer wait. But at last, Isaac was born, and there was great rejoicing. And at last, Jesus was born, and there was great rejoicing. And the rejoicing wasn't just the rejoicing of parents in having a son, although that was a big chunk of it. The rejoicing was also that God's promises were now coming true, and that meant that God's work was moving forward, and you could see God's work advancing. Notice how there's an explosion of joy here with Abraham and Sarah when finally, at their extreme old age, miraculously, this baby is born. Abraham has the promised son. Sarah has her own son. They're marveling. They are so old, 190, which is even more amazing. And they're rejoicing. They are laughing. Remember that Isaac's name is Laughter. And as they rejoice and as they laugh, Abraham does not hesitate to just obey God and whatever God said to him. You will name that kid Isaac because you laughed when I said he was coming. Now, here's the baby, you might think, you know, got to name a kid. It's a little more dignified name than Laughter. But nope, they just go right ahead and they name him Laughter because that's what Yitzhak Isaac means. That means laughter. All right, good, fine. He's out. You might think they might want to say, oh, we can't circumcise the kid. He's going to cry. It's painful as blood. Nope, you said circumcise on the eighth day. We're going right ahead. All right, in our joy, we have no qualms about obedience. We go ahead. We name the child Laughter. We circumcise him the eighth day. They are filled with joy. You know, when Jesus was born, not only did angels sing, not only did shepherds come in, but when they took him up to the temple, a very old man and a very old woman showed up to rejoice over baby Jesus. Just like Isaac had a very old man and a very old woman who were his parents rejoicing over him. You know, these blessings, they come as they have waited for God's promise. God promised and they waited. God fulfilled and they are filled with joy. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. But that's not the allegory that's mentioned in the New Testament. You get a little closer to that allegory when you observe that Ishmael shows up as a type, a foreshadowing of later persecutors. Now, who is Ishmael? Well, you got it in verse 9, briefly. Verse 9, Ishmael is the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom Hagar bore to Abraham. Now, what is that? Well, that's in chapter 16. In chapter 16, Sarah was not waiting. Abraham was not waiting. Sarah said, you know, maybe we need to go to a surrogate mother. Maybe instead of with me, just have a baby with my much younger and seemingly fertile slave girl, and then that girl will count, and that child will count as my child. Something from Abraham and Sarah's culture, not from Hagar's culture. And we saw back in Genesis 16 that sure enough, Hagar got pregnant and began to assert herself, I'm carrying the heir. And Sarah said, oh, we're not having that. And Hagar, at that point, fled into the wilderness. And God met her. God saw her. And God said, go back. I will be with you. Your child will become a father of nations. He will be wild and independent. And then God had said to Abraham, you are going to have a child by Sarah. And this was after Ishmael had been born, after Ishmael was 13 years old. And Abraham so loved Ishmael that he said, God, we don't need that blessing. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife will bear you a son. As for Ishmael, I've heard you, I'll make him nations. But through Isaac will your offspring be named. And all this, God was educating Abraham about the meaning of wife, about the meaning of son, the meaning of covenant and family. So here we are, and it's the day that Isaac was weaned. And in cultures that have high infant mortality, often this is the day when they really make a big deal. Like, we think this kid's going to make it now because now he's three and he's starting with solid food. Right? And in that, those cultures, it does tend to be two, three, or four. Weaning is the day you're no longer going to be nursing. You're going to be eating solid food from now on. Okay? So on this day, and Isaac's two, three, or four. All right, he's making it. It's great. We're having this feast for him, for the little guy. And Ishmael is 14 years older. So it's 2 to 16, 3 to 17, 4 to 18, whatever they are. It's a 14-year gap. And on this day when everyone is fawning over this little tyke who takes Ishmael's place, Ishmael might think, Ishmael is laughing. Now, you can laugh with somebody, and you can laugh at somebody. You can laugh at somebody good-naturedly, and you can mock them. You can deride them. You can make them feel your superiority. And by the subsequent actions, you can tell what Ishmael was doing. Ishmael was mocking this little kid. How's this little kid ever going to compete with me? And Sarah saw a threat. Sarah saw a threat. And it was all the sharper a threat for her because she knew she was old. She knew Abraham was old. How long are we going to be around to protect my son from this, for now, obviously stronger competitor? So she goes and she says to Abraham, drive out the slave woman with her son. This boy shall not inherit with my son, Isaac. It says Abraham was really unhappy. Because Abraham, I mean, he'd had 13 years of thinking of Ishmael as his son. Ishmael is his son. And he's thinking of him as his heir for 13 years until God says, no, that's not what I had in mind. What's Abraham going to do? God makes it simple for him. God tells him what to do. And Abraham obeys God, so that keeps it simple. He gives him a command and two consolations. Command. Do what Sarah says. Ooh, all right. Now, back in Genesis 3, Adam is faulted because you listen to the voice of your wife. But here, you got a husband being told, listen to your wife. So, yeah, you can quote that in both directions. Okay, you can't just simply go with that, all right? So, you can't quote one or the other. There you are. You have to figure it out. All right. Listen to, do whatever she tells you. And then he gives him two consolations, none of which is new. He's already told him, I'm going to make Ishmael into a nation. And he says it again. And he already has told them, through Isaac will your seed be named. And he says it again. Right, look, Abraham, this is why I've already told you, you should have been able to foresee a moment like this had to come. But Ishmael brought it on himself. He was included until this moment. It's not that he was going to be the heir, but he was circumcised. He had a home. He had a place, probably a fairly honored place. He was part of the household until he persecuted the child of promise, the little 2 or 3-year-old. And Ishmael's expulsion makes its own allegorical point. It's always bad when a feast turns into a fight and joy turns to gloom. But the Lord kept his promises. Again, Hagar goes out into the wilderness. And Abraham, he's not splitting the inheritance. Right? He doesn't send Hagar out with a whole lot. Right? Bread and some water. And I think Ishmael must have gotten sick because he certainly seems weaker than you would expect in this story. Right? Suddenly, mom is still plugging away and Ishmael's about to die from thirst. And Hagar says, I want to go a distance. I don't want to see. But the previous time when she'd been in the wilderness, she had named God. She said, you are the God who sees. You are the God of seeing. And so God sees. And God says, get up. I told you I was going to make the boy into a great nation. And the woman who didn't want to see, he makes her see. See where the water is. And she goes, she gets the water. And all that God had promised to Ishmael, who's not part of the seed. All of that goes on and becomes true. Now, how does the New Testament see an allegory in this chapter? Well, God sent the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Gentiles believed what they heard, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then other Jewish Christians came to those new Gentile Christians and said to them, "You've made a good start, but now you have to be circumcised and you have to follow the law of Moses." And Paul said, "Are you kidding me? They've already received the Holy Spirit. God is with them. God is at peace with them. There is no further yoke they have to bear. They heard with faith and they received the Holy Spirit." That is what the Christian life is. It is to hear with faith, not to keep the works of the law. When you have the works of the law, then you have condemnation because you fail. But God said, all the nations will be blessed in Abraham's seed. That is happening now as they hear with faith and receive the Holy Spirit. We do not need the yoke of the law. And then he says, since you guys love the law so much, let me tell you how to read it. Don't you know the law says that Abraham had two sons? The one by the slave woman and the one by the free woman. But the one by the slave woman was born according to the flesh. That is to say, in the ordinary way, by a woman of the ordinary age, according to people figuring out on their own what they think is the right way to operate. The son of the slave woman was born according to the flesh, human assertion, human thinking of what is best. But the son of the free woman, he was born according to promise. He was born to a woman who was way past the age for this. He was born simply by the power and the grace and the promise of God. Now, the scripture says, Galatians chapter 4, these two women are two covenants. They're two covenants. Hagar is Mount Sinai, where they receive the law of God. And that is a kind of slavery. Controlling what you can eat, controlling what happens after if you have leprosy, all these rules and regulations, 614 of them. This is a kind of slavery. But those who are the children of the free woman, they are free. Free of that burden. They don't represent the Mosaic covenant at Mount Sinai. They represent the new covenant that Jesus made with us in Jerusalem. Now, what was the problem back then? What was the problem in Genesis 21? The problem was that the son of the slave woman was persecuting the son of the free woman. And what was the solution? Cast out the slave woman with her son. So, what then was the solution in Galatians chapter 4? The Galatians were not to give way to this false teaching. They were to cast out those who had, were bringing that false teaching. In other words, Ishmael's expulsion, which I called an allegorical point, it's an allegory of church discipline, which is very painful, but is necessary to cast out those who would bring false teaching or sin into the body of Christ. What we see here is that the Lord keeps his promises, and so we are to live as free children of the promise. And so know God's promises. He did not promise you great success, sorry. He did not promise you a life free of suffering, sorry. But he has made you many great and precious promises. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He has promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised you, abide in me and I will abide in you. Know his promises. And wait for them. When you don't wait, when you begin to do things according to the flesh, you can create complications. As we saw in Genesis 21, their failure to wait then meant sorrow now. Wait on the Lord. And when you see sin in your life, cast it out. And when there are mockers at church, understand the church must cast them out. If it occurred in Abraham's house, it will occur in the church. But we're not to let our sins reign over us, nor are we to give way in the church to a teaching that is false. The Lord keeps his promises. And he says in the next, very next verse in Galatians, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not give way again to a yoke of slavery." And so combining this Genesis 21 with Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31, I say, live as free children of promise who wait patiently for the Lord. Trust that he will deliver you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear and to perceive what you say to us in the Scripture. We thank you, Lord, that your Scripture is deep and that you teach us many things in it. And so we pray that you give us eyes and ears to see and to hear.